Aham ninde na chastomi svabhavar vishamanjanam etesam shreya ashase utaikatmyam mahatmani. Different people are of different mentalities. Therefore it is not my business either to praise them or to blaspheme them. I only desire their welfare, hoping that they will agree to become one with the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Purport. As soon as one comes to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one understands fully the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, that he is the goal of life. Vasudeva sarvam iti samahatma sudulabha. This is the instruction of all the Vedic literature. Vedaischa sarver ahang eva vedhya sarvadharmang parityajang mangikang sharanam braja. There's no use in praising someone for material qualifications or blaspheming him for material disqualifications. In the material world, good and bad have no meaning, because if one is good, he may be elevated to a higher planetary system, and if one is bad, he may be degraded to the lower planetary systems. People of different mentalities are sometimes elevated and sometimes degraded, but this is not the goal of life. Rather, the goal of life is to become free from elevation and degradation and take to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a saintly person does not discriminate between that which is supposedly good and supposedly bad. Rather, he desires for everyone to be happy in Krishna consciousness, which is the ultimate goal of life. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatya Dishatarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Garada Prasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So let us again hear the text. Kvachit snato nuliptanga suvasa srakvalankrita rate bas vaish charet kvapi dikvasa grahavat vibho. Translation. O my Lord, sometimes I bathe myself very nicely, smear sandalwood pulp all over my body, put on a flower garland, and dress in fine garments and ornaments. Then I travel like a king on the back of an elephant, or on a chariot or horse. Sometimes, however, I travel naked, like a person haunted by a ghost. Different people are of different mentalities. That's the next shloka, actually. Therefore, it is not my business either to praise them or to blaspheme them. I only desire their welfare, hoping that they will agree to become one with the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Now, these two verses continue actually describing the mentality of this Avadhuta Brahmana who was met by Prahlad Maharaj. He is more or less expressing by different examples how he is equal and undisturbed. Dhīra, as we were explaining yesterday. Now, this quality of being equal and undisturbed is also a quality which has to be learned in Krishna consciousness. In the Bhagavad Gita, there are many verses to the effect of expressing, reaching the platform where one is or undisturbed. Also in the Bhagavad, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you find the verse Apituliyata Dharashina. That means a person on the spiritual platform sees with an equal eyes both the hellish planets and the higher planets. Here's also a nice practical instruction how this equal vision can help one on book distribution or during preaching services. It is said that a devotee or a person on the platform of spiritual existence, let us say like this, because as we later hear, this Avadhuta Brahmana was not a devotee in itself of Krishna. So a person on the spiritual platform can learn to look with an equal eye, even if there is praise or if there is a blasphemous words. This Avadhuta Brahmana says, "It is not my business to praise someone or to blaspheme him. Usually, when there is praise, we get very much encouraged, and when there is blasphemy, we get discouraged. But the person on the spiritual platform sees these people who praise me, they have to do so because that's their platform of consciousness, and those who blaspheme me, they have to do so because that's their state of consciousness. Both are in effect doing the same. They are dealing with me according to the material state of their consciousness, and therefore he becomes not affected by either praise or blasphemy, knowing well that only the modes of material nature induce a person to either praise or blaspheme him. This is a very good concept, as I said, on Sankirtan, so that we can keep our equal vision and not be disturbed at the least by either praise or blasphemy, and react either very joyful or make a plan how to retaliate. So, as we can already understand from listening to these verses yesterday and also today, the platform of equal vision is only possible if one is detached from material life. Now, to be detached from material life is an important point to be understood in Krishna consciousness. Vairagya Vidya, it says, Nija Bhakti Yoga, the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has appeared specifically to teach two things: detachment from what does not foster or what is not helpful for devotional service, and Vidya, knowledge. These things are the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, in order to practice detachment and be and act situated on the platform of knowledge, some very important points have to be considered. See, in Krishna consciousness, we usually don't talk so much about detachment and vairagya as independent qualities. We talk more about bhakti or about focusing one's attention on Krishna, because we understand someone who has bhakti will automatically be detached from everything which is not helpful for Krishna consciousness, and he will be situated automatically in knowledge. Where someone may have detachment and may have knowledge, but he is often seen to fall down to the material platform because of material attractions. So our first and foremost attention, therefore, is always fixed on developing our bhakti for Krishna. By this one activity, we know everything else is automatically taken care of. Now, it is quite interesting to note how this bhakti for Krishna develops. And today, I want to talk on this point and hope to encourage you all, in more than even that, give you some practical guidelines how you can actually advance in Krishna consciousness, how you can become a bhakta, a pure bhakta, I mean to say. To understand this is an interesting discussion, and I, while reading this book, Narada Bhakti Sutra, very interesting book published by BBT and partially translated by Srila Prabhupada, we stumble about the following sutra. Bhavatu nishchaya dadyat udvam shastra rakshanam. One must continue to follow scriptural injunctions even after one is fixed up in determined certainty that devotional service is the only means for reaching the perfection of life. See, when one is totally convinced that Krishna consciousness is what I want to reach in this lifetime, one is actually a very rare soul. Krishna describes such a person as Samahatma Sudulabha. It is a great soul who understands after many births and deaths that actually all what is to attain is Vasudeva or Krishna. And he is rare indeed. In this world you will have to look for such a person for a long, long time. You have to walk from one horizon to the next horizon, to the next horizon, to the next horizon, and you will rarely meet such a person, because this world is a world of forgetfulness of Krishna. So, say we have found them, and in fact, I believe that about 60% of those who are now in this room are firmly convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, 55 maybe, or actually 40%. Very difficult to calculate, because you cannot actually calculate by looking externally. Let us say a good percentage, and because today is a day after a festival and everyone has obtained the mercy of Nityananda and will hold fast to this mercy for some, let us make a good estimate. I think at this particular point, 70% are firmly convinced. At this particular point. So, as you have seen from this somewhat critical analysis, it was intentioned to stimulate you a little bit, it is intended to make one point. It is, why are we sometimes convinced and then our conviction dwindles down, and as a result we become attracted to playing with the fire? That means with Maya in its beginning stages of
diversion from the principles of bhakti. Why is this so? This is because not all of us are careful in following the scriptural injunctions after we have obtained our determination, which are given to give rise to bhakti or to devotional service. These scriptural injunctions are condensed by Srila Rupa Goswami in his guideline for activities in Krishna consciousness, which is called the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. See, someone who wants to surrender to Krishna will follow six principles in his life, or will at least try to follow six principles in his life. That is, he will accept everything which is favorable for the development of Krishna consciousness, and then he will reject everything what is unfavorable. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of lighting a fire. When you simultaneously pour water on the fire, in other words, put something unfavorable on the fire, that fire will extinguish. In a similar analogous way, you cannot just adopt everything which is favorable to Krishna consciousness. You do have to also to reject those things which are unfavorable. It's highly important. The third principle of surrender is one firmly believes that Krishna will protect one under all circumstances. If someone leads his life in dependency of Krishna, he will for the first time experience something like inner peace. Because Krishna never lets one down. Like we heard this morning, even the demons know this. They left their doors wide open and lived carefree because they knew, although they are not Krishna's devotees, Krishna is reliable. He will never attack them without a cause. Krishna's promise to protect his devotees is manifested in a very high degree in the life of the Pandavas. He said there will be always five Pandavas on this. They will always live, five Pandavas. And although the battle of Kurukshetra disrobed the prana from everyone, the life force from everyone, still the five Pandavas survived. So a devotee who practices surrender and who will show these symptoms of surrender, and the fourth is, one should be convinced that Krishna is one's maintainer. Krishna will take care of us. He will not only protect us against antagonistic elements, he will maintain us. He will take care that our belly is full. I must tell you very honestly, in my life as a devotee, I always do the work of trying to make becoming convinced of these things by you know, looking into life in Krishna consciousness. I remember that I never was totally convinced until, forget one, maybe 5 years ago, when we were in Vrindavan and we were extremely hungry. I was trying to read the Nectar of Devotion at that time and try to ignore the hunger in the stomach. But it came back and back and in. And then I said, come on, Sachinandan, don't be a pretender. You are hungry. You are not hungry for Krishna. You are hungry for food at this particular moment in your life. And you can't concentrate on reading anything any longer. So I just went up because if you are hungry and you move a lot, you don't feel the hunger so bad. It's a trick. So I moved around, and anyways, it became a little better by the circulation, walking up, and I went into one particular temple, and then the people in the temple said, "Welcome! We've been waiting for you." And they brought us to a room. There was a huge plate of prasadam. Said, "Please take it to you." So I took the principle that everything which is offered in Vrindavan is already offered to Krishna. You can take this stand. That everything is prasad in Vrindavan. No need to offer it again. Most of the time I take another stand, to be quite honest. I offer everything. But it's possible to take this stand. So we ate the whole plate of prasadam, and we were convinced afterwards. Krishna maintains us. How did these people know? Krishna knew that we were hungry, and he gave us the full plate. 5. One should remember that one's activities and desires are not independent. In other words, the devotee should feel completely dependent on Krishna. And thus he should act and think as Krishna desires. This is another important principle. As soon as you act independent for your own benefit, something will go wrong. It's just the way this world works. So before acting, a devotee must always assure himself, is this in the interest of Krishna? Is this the way my spiritual master would want me to act? And only then he has chances of survival, or chances of acting on the spiritual platform and not on that material platform. And the 6th symptom is, one should always think himself the poorest of the poor and feel totally dependent on the mercy of Krishna. At the time where a devotee becomes proud and thinks himself to be the doer, he is a soft target for Maya's powerful blows. Therefore, humility is a sign of strength, because by humility one can be protected. Or if one has humility, this is how I wanted to say, one can be protected by Krishna. But an arrogant fool who takes credit for everything he does is not protected by Krishna. By his foolishness, he separates himself from the mercy of the Lord. So you might, when hearing these symptoms of surrender, you might become a little bit reflective and think, am I surrendered according to these 6 symptoms of surrender? And most of the devotees will understand they still have a way to go to surrender. They are on the way to surrender, but not yet fully surrendered. And the question immediately comes up, how can I attain this state of surrender, or this state of Krishna consciousness? That's the immediate question which a devotee has. Now, here are good news. All of us, by our constitution, are already surrendered, in the sense that we are Krishna's eternal part and parcels. A part means it's surrendered. The hand or the finger, for instance, which is a part of the body, is surrendered. It even does this foolish activity. You know, it doesn't question how, wait a minute, what is this? In the midst of the lecture, you can't make this. No, totally surrendered. No question of not doing it. It is the part means surrender. It's a constitutional nature. So we have these qualities, but they are at the present moment only innate. Innate means sagt man auf Deutsch, innewohnend. And these sometimes they are also called latent. That means they have to be awoken. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Prabhupada purports this by giving the example of a child. In the child is already the walking capacity. When you teach a child walking on two legs, it's already there. It's not like a dog. When you can also teach a dog to walk on two legs. But here, you just train him to do something which is not in his nature. And you can rest assured, when you're not looking, that the dog will walk again on four legs, 100%. So, in the example of the child, we have a different concept. We don't have something like training a new role and a new artificial lifestyle, but the concept which is purported here is that a child has already the walking capacity. It only has to be brought out. That's the understanding here. Sometimes those who criticize devotees, they say, no, you're learning something completely foreign, something quite unusual, some external lifestyle, and so on. Instead of hello, you say Hari Bol now. Instead of dressing in modern clothes, you take to traditional robes of the Vaishnava. These are all more or less the same. It is a material expression of some material state of consciousness. However, this point is not right. In Krishna consciousness, we understand that Krishna consciousness is already within the heart of all souls. And by practice it comes out. Prabhupada makes this point. He says, the chanting and dancing of the devotees is not like the artificial dancing of dogs. No, he says these devotees are acting, they are inspired by the internal energy and they are dancing according to their the original nature of the soul, which is to be happy and joyful. So there's a subtle difference in bringing out what is innate and in training some external behavior which becomes a habit and a role and so on and so forth. Now, in order to bring out this innate nature, a few points have to be understood with full attention. These are the principles given by Lord Chaitanya in the Madhya Lila. Rupa Goswami has written these principles out, and I thought today I would read these principles to all of you and give a small explanation so that we know something practical. And I thought I would do it like this. I will take a few now, then the next time I'm giving a lecture, maybe this evening, and then tomorrow. And with these three lecture sessions, I hope to cover all these 64 items which will help us developing Krishna consciousness. And I can also do the following. I can make a list of these items. They are very nicely explained here in this new book of Srila Prabhupada, Narada Bhakti Sutra. Actually, only the first 13 sutras are translated and purported by Srila Prabhupada. The others are very nicely purported on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's teachings by Srila Satsvarup Maharaj. So by photocopying it, I can well imagine that from time to time it's good to go through this list. I'm personally doing it in my own life of Krishna consciousness, and often I find great inspirations and sometimes also corrections of my behavior. And this all is very helpful in executing Krishna consciousness. So the first six principles amazingly have to do with accepting a spiritual master and learning from a spiritual master. And if you think about it deeply, it can be understood why this is so. The spiritual master is can be compared with the father who brings out the walking capacity of his little child. And he also is necessary because he knows the psychophysical state of his disciple. See, we are all individuals, and we may not always be able to follow everything in Krishna consciousness without personal help and personal inspiration and encouragement. Someone has to translate these spiritual principles into our own life. And we also have to feel some a commitment to someone. Like I will tell you something quite private. I'm not a person who likes to take shower. There are persons who do like to take shower. For me, every shower I preach to my, well, not any longer, but, you know, it takes so much time just to take care of the body. Ooh, 20 minutes. And I'm just getting so restless under the shower. When is this going to stop and I'm going to make some sensible activities and so on. I'm very restless under the shower. There's Leela Sugar, who takes an hour under the shower. He's exactly the opposite. He somehow has great sympathy for this activity. But there are others who just hate the Torah. Anyways, let us not. So by accepting Srila Prabhupada, this helped me so much. In our first Heidelberg temple, we had to shower outside in the snow early in the morning at 3 o'clock. We went outside of the house. We had a house in Heidelberg, and there was only cold water and a Gartenschlauch, a garden hose. And this is how we, Krishna, Krishna, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. And I remember, we also did this whenever we took showers, sometimes three times a day. I wouldn't have done it if I wouldn't have been a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Well, you can't go dirty in the temple. Prabhupada would be very much, he wouldn't like it. He would say, you mlecha and yavana. He would say like this, and he would say, when are you going to become a civilized human being? He would judge my standard of civilization if I'm taking shower or not shower. So I had to do it. This helped very much. Feeling committed to a person helps a lot. So the first principle out of six, the four, is to accept a bona fide spiritual master. That means we have to accept his vision. It's not just that a ritual, yes, I also have a guru, no problem. No, we have to accept a bona fide spiritual master. Second, to become initiated by the spiritual master. Third, to engage oneself in the service of the spiritual master. It's a slujba relationship, a service relationship which we have to do. We are servants. For to receive instructions from the spiritual master and inquire about advancing on the path of devotional service. The instructions which we have from our spiritual master are our guiding light. And we must try to execute them. Even if we are not successful in executing them, if we at least try, this is success. Srila Prabhupada makes this point in a purport, the shloka which appears in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where he says, someone may fail in the execution, but if he does not resist the principle, then that is already good. 5. To follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas and follow the directions given by the spiritual master. This is a nice thing. Our spiritual master is not isolated. He is not a charismatic personality, but he is a member of a family. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada was sometimes very pleased about disciples who had understood something which his spiritual master understood. For instance, to Srila Harikesh Maharaj, who is very dedicated to the mission of printing and distributing transcendental literature, he said, "You are the dearest grandson of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, my spiritual master, because you have understood a principle." It's not that we should see our spiritual master as isolated. He becomes very happy if we understand the family mission, so to say, of the previous acharyas and follow the footsteps of the previous acharyas. 6th, to give up anything for the satisfaction of Krishna and to accept anything for the satisfaction of Krishna. Now, you might notice that this is one of the symptoms of surrender. In other words, after having accepted a spiritual master, having become initiated by him, and having obtained instructions from him, and also following the footsteps of previous acharyas, then one will come to the platform where he can surrender, or where he is surrendered. Now, the 7th principle is to live in a place where Krishna is present. A city like Vrindavan or Mathura or a Krishna temple. All the devotees here are encouraged to go to the holy dhams. Srila Prabhupada built these projects in Mayapur and Vrindavan, which are the most, which are both very holy places, the holiest places in the universe, to ask his disciples to come there and to ask his disciples, grand disciples, to also to come there in order to be encouraged and for their preaching mission. Prabhupada did not really want that devotees would stay long in these holy dhams. He just wanted them to come and absorb the atmosphere, get purified, and then go back to their places of service. Because devotees are in different parts of the world because Mahaprabhu wants them to be there to serve the mission. So, 8th is to minimize one's means of living as much as one can while living comfortably to execute devotional service. This is a very nice principle, a principle which I'm constantly fighting with personally, because I'm getting so many presents and I have to somehow, you know, keep this principle. The means of living must be minimized as much as one can. That doesn't mean, you know, that we give away our winter clothes and go in summer clothes out in the our service. No one should be comfortable to execute devotional service. But what is above this comfort is to be given up, because it entangles us and diverts our attention away from Krishna. You will feel very happy if you give something which you don't need to some Vaishnava who needs it. This is just the greatest, is a very great pleasure in one's life. 9. To observe fasting days such as Ekadasi. By observing fasting on Ekadasi, we reduce the bodily concept of life and understand that we are an eternal soul. 10. To worship cows, brahmanas, vaishnavas, and sacred trees like the banyan. Today there will be 2 more brahmanas in our movement, so we can worship them, please them, we can give them a lot prasadam to eat, knowing that Krishna will eat through the brahmanas. Like this we can be happy in our Krishna consciousness life. So we should worship also Vaishnavas, that means yeah, Vaishnavas, you know, and cows. We can do this because most of us are a little estranged from this Vedic civilization. Let me tell you, there are very nice cows here, isn't it? And one can go, but one should speak first with the cowherd boy. Not that one gives maha cake and so on, because they might not digest it, the mother cows. But one can at least pet friendly on the head and go like this. This is what they like, isn't it, Arjuna? Usually? Maha cake? Yeah? But no. Anyways, you will hear from the experts what to do in regards to cow. This is what I always do. They like it very much. And chant some Hare Krishna in their ears, but be careful of the bulls. If you first look down, you know, if it's a cow or a bull or something in between, an ox, and, you know, show your affection in relationship to the species. You will feel happy doing this, because it's cows are very dear to Krishna. They serve human beings with this sacred food, milk, and worship sacred trees like the banyan tree. There is one banyan tree in Vrindavan. There are a few banyan trees actually in Vrindavan. One is in Bandiravan. It's a place where Krishna and Radha had a seeming marriage. And then there is another on the very nice banyan tree on the way, just wait. It's between Kamyavan. No. It's on the way from Badri to... One second. Yeah, the area of Kamyavan. But it's on the way to Kailas. To Kailas, yes. Kailas is also in Vrindavan. There is a banyan tree who has witnessed Krishna's pastimes, and you can embrace him and pray to him, please give me some mercy. You are a great worshipable tree. So these 10 principles of devotional service are the beginning. But don't take any tree. Not that you go to the Bavarian forest and... this is not good. So then we will hear 10 more, and then we have heard the first 20. One should avoid committing offenses against the holy name, the deity, etc. You will hear about this point a little later during the initiation lecture. Therefore we will not mention this. But offenses, there are four categories of offenses. One is against the holy name, the other against deities,
his instructions. And therefore,
in many disciples are a great weight. They put all the karma in one's devotional life and their bad activities. Therefore, a devotee who is serious should not accept, should not aspire to have many disciples. Now, Srila Prabhupada gives an interesting comment on this point. He says, sometimes it is seen that devotees in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accept even someone who is not very qualified as their disciple in order to benefit the poor conditioned souls and to try to and to spread the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which needs to be spread all over the universe. And for that, a lot of devotees are needed to do preaching service. 14th, one should not unnecessarily divert his attention by partially studying many books so as to appear very learned. For devotional service, it is sufficient to scrutinizingly study books like the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can practice adhyahara or collecting more than important even in the realm of knowledge. Can practice it in the if you are a spiritual master by accepting too many disciples or aspiring to have many disciples. You can practice adhyahara in your eating when you eat more than which is necessary. You can also accept practice adhyahara with knowledge by reading more different books just to appear very learned than what is important. 15th, one should not be disturbed in either loss or gain. How to do that? You have to learn to see Krishna behind everything. Then only it is possible to be not disturbed in loss. Sometimes there is a disturbance in this life. You have to understand what does Krishna want to teach me, or how does this relate to Krishna? And you will see, as soon as the Krishna factor comes up, you will be very happy. Let us continue. Let us compare the greatest loss in two kinds of people. The greatest loss is the loss of the body. When that is lost, you can't act any longer in this world. Now, a devotee who dies understands, Krishna, please take me to you. And a kami who does not see Krishna in everything, who cannot see that Krishna has now come as death, or God has now come as death in his life, he is in total anxiety, totally worried, so much worried that his whole life he tries to forget this particular point, that Krishna, or God, is there in the form of death, waiting. Now this sounds a little black, schwärzlich. What I mean to say with this example is not that a devotee should look forward for death. No. I wanted to give an example how a devotee can even understand in loss that this is Krishna. Become free from fear by understanding Krishna. This is how wonderful the remembrance of Krishna is. What to speak of little troubles when you do not distribute enough books, or you are freezing, or you are getting a cold, or you want to marry but there's no one who wants you, all these little sufferings in the life of a Vaishnav. Think, what is Krishna's position here? What has Krishna to do with this situation? You will see, you will become free from anxiety and everything will go in the way which is best for you. Krishna will take care. Then, one should not allow oneself to be overwhelmed by lamentation for any reason. There is no greater danger or no greater enemy than lamentation or emotional distress, which takes the form of just lament. Because by lamentation, the most important motor in your Krishna consciousness, so to say, is stopped. Srila Prabhupada speaks about enthusiasm in devotional service, and he says a devotee should not allow himself to become discouraged. Enthusiasm is a symptom of the living entity. It cannot be stopped. It is just like a powerful engine, like motor. If you utilize it properly, it will give immense production. Therefore, enthusiasm should be purified. Don't allow, first of all, that your enthusiasm is for Maya or diversions in Krishna consciousness. Purify it and become enthusiastic for Krishna. Now I want to go back home, back to Godhead. Not long ago, I talked to a devotee, and I was very deeply shocked when I talked to this devotee. Sometimes in talking, it's very important to let the other person freely express himself or herself. And the devotee said to me, see, previously I was so much interested in my career, my mundane advancement in life. But this has stopped. And now I'm seeing that I'm getting more interested. Now I'm a devotee, but I'm getting more interested. I have time now, it seems, for things which are not good for Krishna consciousness. And this is how the devotee expressed himself honestly. So this is a reason of great concern. See, our mundane enthusiasm was contaminated. It was for name, fame, and glory. Now we should be enthusiastic. We should remain that enthusiasm. It's not that when we come to Krishna consciousness, or we say, okay, I'm not longer enthusiastic for these things, for Maya, and then just settle in and be find our place in the society, so to say. No, the enthusiasm, utsahar, must be purified now, that in this lifetime, Krishna, I want to attain your lotus feet. Please take me. Then, one should not bless... And now you might say, well, it sounds so convincing, but this is very difficult to maintain this enthusiasm. That's right! You got the point of being a conditioned soul. But let not lamentation overcome you. Even if you don't, if you are not always successful, it really doesn't matter. Just continue on the line of Krishna consciousness and do what is right. 17th, one should not blaspheme the demigods, although one should not worship them. Similarly, one should not criticize other scriptures, although one should not follow the principles therein. A devotee should not blaspheme the demigods. Here we don't do that usually because there are no demigods being worshipped. But scriptures, sometimes a Christian says, you, from the Bible, Jesus loves you. I think it's not even in the Bible, but they say like this, just to everyone. Jesus loves you, you should give up Krishna. So when a devotee, sometimes it gets on one's nerves, I know. So then at least let us not criticize other scriptures. We can say, yes, I love the Bible very much, but the followers of the Bible, they have serious difficulties. Let them first come to the standard of the Bible, then we also love them very, very much. This is how we can express our reservations against the Christianity. Then, one should not tolerate blasphemy of the Supreme Lord or his devotees. We were talking about this a little while ago. When you hear how Krishna or the devotees are blasphemed, you have to leave the spot. Or when you read it in the paper, I mean, we are so busy, but Shonaka Rishi Prabhu, he said once, and I thought it's nice, when you read in a newspaper, just write them a letter, a spicy letter. Anyone who criticizes the devotees of Krishna just simply doesn't know what they are doing. You're grossly misinformed. This is what a devotee of Krishna is like. Write short, you know, don't tolerate this. Or in the discussion, when you hear someone talking badly about someone else, don't tolerate it. You lose your Krishna consciousness. Sorry it takes so long, but what can we do? This is all very important. One should not indulge in idle talks such as those about relationships between man and woman. Romeo and Julia. The eternal drama, it seems. No, one shouldn't discuss about this so much. Not even in the Mataji ashram. This will degrade our consciousness and our whole niveau to a very mediocre, middle-mäßig state of consciousness. And we will even become highly interested in lust and his younger brothers and sisters. 20th principles, you made it. One should not unnecessarily disturb any living being, whatever he may be. Srila Prabhupada used to even greet the kamis by saying, good morning, sir. We should become very favorable disposed towards others. Should always try to be friendly, kind to them, and not disturb them unnecessarily. So by cultivating these principles, thinking about them once in a while, you will see how your walking capacity or your capacity in devotional service will arise. You will see how you become stronger automatically. Even if you only mechanically follow, it will come out, just like a little boy who only mechanically walks. It will come out. Just look at this little person here. He's a very nice devotee of Krishna, and everything has come out very nicely. The walking capacity, the jumping capacity, now the tape recorder capacity is coming out. Soon the Madanga capacity will come out. He's playing also Madanga. Grazie, Ramachandra. So this is... wanted to say thank you for being a good example, but I can't say exemplio or something exempli sicoso. So this is how everything will come out, by following the right track. Don't be depressed. Be highly encouraged. You can become a pure devotee in this lifetime, and there is ample knowledge. Just follow the process with faith and also determination. So, Hare Krishna, I want to end here. I'm really sorry. I wanted to talk much, much shorter. I know these long lectures, it's difficult, but we are all together. It's so rare to meet, and therefore just can't control the tongue. Mm. So are there any questions, Gadadha? I will try to answer very short. Yeah. Yes, lamenting. Yeah.
Stress like this, so is it the wrong motive, like being attached to? What's the reason for this?
I would say we are human beings. If you are on the computer and you type and then you press the wrong button, which I think is something which easily can happen with you, and then whoop, it's gone. I mean, as long as you don't throw the computer against the wall or do something. There's a nice, in Berlin we have something, when someone gets angry with the computer, there is a piece of paper, it's called the Wutzettel, I think. You just can take it. And then get rid of it. We have such a trick for the... the wood settle. I mean, this is just human, but after the human reaction has passed, then you should know this is life. It says, don't be overwhelmed by lamentation. Lamentation will come in the mind. Also lamentation in Krishna consciousnesses. I wanted to distribute so many books and what am I doing? I'm distributing my mental platform, not the books. Yeah. So that's all what has happened in the last 1 week. So this is a good reason for it. We might lament, but don't be overwhelmed. After the time, lamentation time, is over, after you have visited the Klagemauer, then just come back to the right track. You know, let us engage our humanness in Krishna's service. But if we reject that, we might become imbalanced. Don't be overwhelmed. That's the instruction. Good. Yes. You can tell this to Veerachanda. Tell it to him and to hear.
My question was that I noticed also in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the mention of Bhupa Shri, this one describing the marriage of Radha and Krishna, you mentioned also in the next
thought
maybe enlighten us a little bit.
Enlighten. But don't put it on a theater, this Leela. It's a very confidential, very spiritual. It is about... Radha Krishna appeared in this world to attract the conditioned souls with their divine Leela. Their Leela is in Parakiya Bhava and not in Svakiya Bhava. For that, the unmarried love, which is full of risks, that is Parakiya Bhava, cannot be disturbed by Svakiya Bhava or the married love. The most intense love is when there are risks involved. So Radha and Krishna relate to each other in this transcendental realm. Now, some acharyas, Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu, have narrated one leela of Radha Krishna where they are married by Lord Brahma and the devatas under the banyan tree in Bandiravan. Yes. How this happened is described in the Gaga Sanghita. Once Nanda Maharaj went with Krishna to the cows when they were overcome by a fierce storm. At that time, Krishna was showing signs of being fearful of the storm, and Nanda Maharaj wanted to bring him home. But when he thought of bringing him to Vrindavan, he noticed the cows are there without protection. I need to take care of the cows. So in this dilemma, he saw all of a sudden a lady. He saw Srimati Radharani. And Radha said, "I can take Krishna home. You go to the cows." So that's what he did. And Radha and Krishna went to Bandiravan, and a marriage was performed by Lord Brahma. But as the marriage was coming to the end, all of a sudden the whole scene disappeared. Yes, it disappeared. And Nanda Maharaj was there standing in the storm with his little boy Krishna and brought him to Vrindavan. This is a leela. Yes, there was this. Virachanda, what is the question? Very good question. Thank you very much, whoever put this. By what symptoms can we understand who is our spiritual master? I always wanted to talk about this. Very good question. Thank you very, very much. He who can inspire us in Krishna consciousness, he is our spiritual master. Now, who inspires us in Krishna consciousness? Is it the person who gives one fantastic lecture, or the person who smiles in a very encouraging way, or the person who whom we meet when we are in who preaches to us when we are still in the material consciousness and so on? Is it anyone who simply inspires us by his words, by his activities, by his thoughts which he presents in a lecture? No, not necessarily. It can be that person, but it is not necessarily that person. It is that person to whom we develop a relationship by hearing over quite some time and become encouraged and even change our life, transform our life and make significant steps in our life. That person is coming into the nearer Auswahl, into the closer choice. Then we must see, can I actually follow that the mood this person is in? See, at this particular time, we are not... Srila Prabhupada has left the planet. And at least I can say, very honestly, it has nothing to do with humility. I'm not even near the shadow of Prabhupada in my advancement of Krishna consciousness. So, what can a person like, for instance, in my case, I know many of you are disciples, so I will talk a little like that, family talk. What I can do for the disciples is I can present the mission of Krishna consciousness and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the holy name, and so on and so forth. But it will be useful for only the person who can accept that. And for that, it needs to be a person who can understand the mood, so on and so forth. So many this is a point which If we don't understand this, if we don't seriously present it to the newcomers in our movement, if we don't preach it to the bhaktas and help the bhaktas, I also want to tell all of you who are already initiated by one spiritual master, you must help the bhaktas to understand this question and advise them. Because if they cannot develop a relationship to their spiritual master, then they will not be encouraged. They won't belong in this wonderful mission. They won't be helpful instruments in Mahaprabhu's mission. And the movement will not become what it is meant to be. It will become a movement of devotees who are not really committed and who have not the sensibilities of a Vaishnava, because they couldn't surrender to the spiritual master. And then we also have to be accepted by the spiritual master. That's also another thing. When someone says to you, when a spiritual master says to you, no, I don't think you are my disciple, don't take it personally. Don't start to lament. See it as Krishna's mercy and as the mercy of this great devotee who knows he won't be able to help you. And therefore, take him serious. It's not a personal grudge, but it is a look into the future. Nandi Mukhi? That the devotee must distinguish between the innocent, the demoniac, the devotee, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Heavy. Living entities. Now, first of all, the offense or the unkindness shown to other living entities, it happens in social intercourse while we are on this planet Earth. It's not so serious. It becomes serious when this offense or this unkindness is turned into meat eating. If you eat him up, like Lakamis do, who slaughter the poor animals and just gulp him down the throat, I mean, then it's really an offense against another living entity. But otherwise, if there's misunderstanding, this is happening because of different viewpoints. Now, your point was slightly different. A preacher must make differentiations. If he constantly goes to Jagai and Madai, something might happen, which is seriously in his life. We have to avoid the demoniac, at least on our stage. We are not Uttama Adhikaris. We are approaching the Madhyama Adhikari stage. And as preacher, we have to act like Madhyama Adhikaris in regards to different living entities. So, yes, you can see the demon, but understand he's also part and parcel of Krishna. He's also a soul. Hate the sin and not the sinner. That's Augustinus from the Christian Church. We have something, this same concept, we have it also in one shloka of the Bhagavatam, but I'm really sorry, I have forgotten this shloka. I should have written it down immediately when I read it. In other words, we are not against the person, we can see him as Krishna, but that doesn't mean we embrace a tiger. There is just common sense acting in this world.
It's not an esoteric point. I know you expected a much deeper answer, but sorry, it's just so simple. You have to understand the souls of Krishna. Bhakti Peter. Himself, when he is this, deal with this. Yes. When the spiritual master is, he's not blaspheming. I mean, this is really not what happens. When the spiritual master says to you, you are, what does he say, a rascal maybe, or a fool, maybe he says, this is more or less the most heavy things he says. Or hoibube, or something like, this is, but that's not as heavy as the fool, the hoibube is. This is not a blasphemy. It's the reality. There is a difference. He doesn't. Er will dich ja nicht beleidigen, sozusagen. And when a devotee blasphemes you, you should see it as Krishna's mercy. Well, maybe there's something I must change in my life. That's the safest. Don't blaspheme back. Ah, you are this. Ah, Krishna. Yes. Life in ISKCON. Therefore, it is not my business either to praise them or to blaspheme them. Here, Bhakti Petra, it's different. Here, the Avaduta says, I don't praise anyone, nor do I blaspheme anyone, because I desire the welfare of everyone, the spiritual welfare, and see people on the same level, so to say. But what is happening, your question is, if I'm praised, be careful. When they praise you, just pray to Krishna that it goes, it goes past you. It doesn't accumulate, that your false ego becomes an organically growing monster. Good. In ourselves?
And they are conditioned senses of what is right or not. But then often I think I should also speak with other people on this point, that it becomes more easy for them to deal with these people. And then I think also maybe it would be good.
Du meinst, wenn du bei anderen siehst, wie offensichtliche Schwächen in ihnen zutage oder bei einem selber, dann sollte man darüber sprechen?
Ja, in einem gewissen Maße, denke ich. Oder könntest du vielleicht dazu was sagen?
Sollte man das? When we see someone who has a weakness, we really have to know the Vaishnava etiquette. If you are a lesser Vaishnava, that means not as advanced, you should not correct the Vaishnava which is superior to you. You can go and mention it to someone who is superior, because the water flows from above downwards. In other words, the devotee will be able to learn better and therefore be helped better if you say it to someone, if a devotee who is more advanced than this particular devotee who has some mistake in him tells him. That's a Vaishnav etiquette, a matter of Vaishnav etiquette. You should correct only a lesser advanced devotee. Then, of course, there are always exceptions. There are some devotees who are just so humble and they appreciate it very much if you tell them something. But it really depends what is this point, what you are going to tell them. And you can become, I think you know when you correct an older devotee who is very humble, afterwards you don't feel really good. Sometimes Sankirtan leaders, they write this to me. They say, I am with devotees who are much more advanced than me and I have to correct them, to tell them, no, we do it this way or that way. And they feel very bad because of this. For Krishna's service only we can do, but otherwise not. And that service means like when you are on Sankirtan, when the books have to go out, and so on and so forth. But also there you must be careful. Better to restrict the criticism of a Vaishnava to maybe practical things which have to be done so that the service can go on. Now, as far as sitting up to 4 o'clock in the morning and talking and talking and talking about the mental platform, that doesn't help at all. The time is better spent in going early to bed, rising and chanting the rounds. These weaknesses which you are mentioning have all a cause in a lack of Krishna consciousness, and they can only be overcome by making advancement in Krishna consciousness. Once there was a devotee who lamented, who had many weaknesses, and came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, can you help me? Prabhupada said, yes. What are your doubts? And then he expressed everything. And Srila Prabhupada, he asked the devotee, may I ask if you are chanting your 16 rounds without offenses? You follow. With this answer, he indicated that by practicing Krishna consciousness, these things go automatically away. By talking on the mental platform, you may come to some agreement after some point. Someone may be very happy. One may be happy and fall in each other's arms, and so on and so forth. The mental platform, you have not helped a person successfully to come off the mental platform unless you help that person to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Now, this is not, this is a strong words, they are not, that doesn't mean we shouldn't talk to each other. We shouldn't preach to each other. No, but when we do, we must be careful that at least we are not on the mental platform and that we can help the person with preaching Krishna consciousness. It is good if devotees go to each other, Prabhu, how do you think? Are you convinced that by chanting Hare Krishna I can purify my mind? Sometimes I'm not convinced. So if someone says like this, then you should give good, you should know the scriptures, you should know, also have some practical experience, and give some convincing arguments which help that person. Such things would have to be addressed. And when you see someone who has faults, you have to immediately have the intelligence to go and find out where is he not following Krishna consciousness and help there. So now we are a little late, hungry and exhausted. So we will have to end here. Thank you very much for listening patiently. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Shrila Sachinanda Maharaj ki
jai.
Those who are getting initiated today, both first and second, should not take prasadam before they are initiated, right? And the others, I think, will take prasadam now. I mean, that's mostly everyone in the temple, I think, isn't it? Is here a farm devotee? Wherever it comes, I think you won't miss the prasadam. You will find it out. It's yes, no room anywhere else. Hare Krishna. And the initiation ceremony, no one told me as of yet, but I guess it will be 10:30. At 10:30. So yes, please, all the devotees, cooperate with this helping that the prasadam is distributed like a flash. Wie ein Blitz am Morgen, that we can start on time. Because if we are not starting punctually, then it will not be possible to have the deities of Radha Madan Mohan there blessing the event.